Reg and ATL coming to you, lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, going out to Chicago with Jason Henry. Jay, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
Man, always a pleasure, man. Always happy to be on, man, especially when talking about entertainment and stuff. You know, we love talking shows. We talk shows.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man, over the last few years, we've talked about a lot of shows and stuff here. So
this
video format is very new for us. So at least for me anyway, you're way more used to doing being in front of the camera and stuff like that than I would ever, you know, get used to being. So we're going to start with Breaking Bad. This is a show about the personal top. I think it's maybe top 25. I'm not sure how many is on here. We're going to go over about the top 10 fan favorites. TV series of all time, starting with Breaking Bad at a 96% on the Rotten Tomato list here. Breaking Bad, for me, classic status. I have no issues with this being at the top here. And some of these will notice as we go on, Jay, will have lower scores and higher scores. They're not necessarily in numerical order from a score standpoint. It's just kind of, I guess, a fan voted according to Rotten Tomato. So number one, Breaking Bad. Any problems with that at number one for you?
No. I mean, this is 08. So this is right after, I want to say, Sopranos and The Wire from HBO. So Breaking Bad is definitely one of the originals from the AMC channel.
They had Walking Dead coming right after. They were on a run for a second, Mad Men and all that stuff too.
I was going to say that, yeah, AMC, this Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, this is the rise of these shows. And Breaking Bad, like the first season, I think it was only like maybe 5 or 6 episodes or whatever like that.
Short season for sure.
It was a very short season because they weren't sure if it was going to blow up like it did. And of course it did. And, you know, we got five, six seasons or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it became a cult classic. I mean, you know, a lot of people love it. You know, everybody quotes, you know, Jesse Pinkman's, you know, the B word, and, you know, Walter White's Heisenberg and whatnot. Yeah. So it is definitely up there for one of the, I put it up there with Sopranos and The Wire. It's definitely, it's worthy of that spot. And Rotten Tomatoes is definitely worthy of that number one spot as far as, you know, when, you know, TV shows were really started hitting again. So, yeah.
No doubt. Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, stars Vince Gilligan. I was very happy. You know, one of the things I really love about this show is that they didn't try to stretch it because of its popularity. A lot of times when you have shows that that are on and they have a certain, the creator might have a story arc already pre-written. He already knows where it's going to end and where it's going to, you know, where it's going to start and where it's going to end. But then the execs get involved because the money starts to flow in and the execs are like, man, we need 5-10 more seasons of this, man. This is rock and roll. So you see shows oftentimes go on way too long. Mm-hmm. So that was something I was glad that we did not see with Breaking Bad.
Absolutely.
Let's go to number two here. Game of Thrones for number two. Game of Thrones. Now, Game of Thrones be polarizing. I have some people who watch this show and it's like, man, I couldn't. It's not my kind of show and stuff like that. I loved Game of Thrones. And it took me a couple times. It started off slowly for me, Jay. Like, it wasn't one that was immediately caught. But after trying to watch the first season, which is very few shows, it's not a full run on that first season, as a lot of shows aren't. But it grew on me, and it now did it grow on me tremendously. I loved Game of Thrones. What are your thoughts?
I don't hate or love Game of Thrones. And I'll be honest. I only watched a few episodes of the first season, did catch my interest.
But not enough to watch the rest of the episode.
Well, here's the funny part. You want to know something really funny? You know who the biggest fans in my family of GOT?
Who's
my
that?
Parents?
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, mother. My mother is a diehard.
Much CTV, man.
She's a diehard fan. Whenever they would have the hour special series, you know, series premiere, or the series finale, or whatever like that. You know, or season finale. I'm sorry, not series, but season finale, or season premiere. My mom was front and center. Even if it would be like an hour and some change, she'd be like, it's not long enough. They need to put
She would
always like be fiending for more. So that's how I knew GOT was definitely doing their job. I don't hate GOT. I've heard a lot of mixed reviews, but my thing is I like watching a show when they're aren't a lot of there isn't a lot of momentum behind it. I kind of like it when it's died down
Yo,
and
you sound like
I get to.
the person that loves the indie band until they start playing stadiums. And then when they start playing stadiums, you don't like the indie band no more, right?
No,
Like when they start to get too popular?
It's not even that, man. It's just like you're kind of swayed by different opinions.
Ah,
and I see. I like to I really love to just kind of sit back and analyze it for myself, because I noticed how that happened with me when at the height of The Wire, I was watching it when everybody else was. I was a big fan then, and I'm still
Dope
a big
show.
fan now. Very dope show, very relatable. My thing with The Wire was I noticed how my opinion was sometimes swayed, or my view was a little different when it came to, you know, like towards the end of the season and stuff like that. Whereas as I was able to go back and look at certain clips on my own on YouTube nowadays, and I'm like, that's actually, you know what, this is more my viewpoint. This is more my, you know. And I was the same way when I finally got into, you know, hey man, people gonna laugh at me, but you know, when I used to watch, I actually bought the entire seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yo, Jason, we have talked ad nauseum about your Buffy the Vampire Slayer fandom, man. There's nothing wrong with it, man. You gotta, and you've owned that like a, man, Jay.
Yeah,
you owned it like a full adult. You know what I mean? Yo, sometimes people just like different shows. I'm an anime video game guy. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, but I kind of get where you're going there with Game of Thrones. I did love Game of Thrones, so I have nothing bad to say about it. I love it. I love the show. George R. R. Martin, which I still don't think he's finished that series or that book, that series yet, Song of Fire, of Ice and Fire. They do have the House of Dragon, I think, is on right now. Will be coming back on here soon. And I've been kind of getting into that. It hasn't been the same as Game of Thrones for me, but I
Never
do love
be.
Some Game of Thrones. Never now, be. On to number three, Sopranos. Sopranos, number three. So first of all, so far, this list, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Sopranos. Oh, man, I have no issues with this list. This list is amazing for me so far. I love Sopranos. Sopranos is much-watched television. Back when there was such a thing, you know, there's not really a lot of appointment viewing these days, and Sopranos and the shows that we've talked about so far have been an appointment viewing, and I like nothing bad that I can say about the Sopranos. I love the show. I might go rewatch it, man. It's been a while since I've watched Sopranos. Mm-hmm. I might go back and rewatch it, but Tony Soprano, man, James Gandolfini, what more can you ask for here?
Brilliant acting, brilliant scenes, very and surprisingly funny. There is
great writing
for a cast of people that are playing, you know, thieves and, you know, and people who are, you know, basically stealing, and you know, they're part of this organization, La Cosa Nostra, that, you know, they follow rules and stuff like that, and they do, you know, they do all these crazy things. It's flat out funny. There are certain scenes in there where you can't help but, like, dude, if you're not laughing, then you're taking yourself way, way too serious. And there are just those scenes in there. And I think what makes it even funnier is the fact that we know that this is a family of criminals, you know? So like, when we see, I think we still see that to this day with movies, as well as, you know, criminals and stuff like that, when they start, you know, talking about moral ethics, and it's like, dude, you just shot a guy. Or you just killed somebody.
Yeah, they want to deal with this. They got their family problems to deal with, though. Like, you shoot somebody, you got to go home and deal with your family.
Exactly. Where I think it was even a show with The Wire where the first episode of the very first season where they started talking about this one guy who was gambling, but they always knew this guy who was, you know, running dice games. He was a cheater. And so McNulty asked the dude, well, why, if you guys knew he was going to cheat, why y'all let him play? And he was like, yo, man, this is America. You got to. And it was just like, it was so funny to just hear that, because it was like still like these like moral grounding or moral compass where people are like, well, it's an American thing. You still got to let them play. And it's like, even though they know this dude's a cheat and they know he's gonna, you know, start trouble and wreak havoc or whatever like that, even the street has these unofficial codes and stuff like that.
Did you feel that way was the same way with Sopranos, with a lot of like relatable? I feel like what they did a great job of is making these guys relatable to issues, everyday issues that you just deal with, right?
I mean, the relationship that Tony had with his mother and his wife, even though this dude is in a position of great power, the people that could knock him down the most is his mother and his wife.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Like, his children drive him up the roof. His son is constantly doing, like, there was this one time where they punished their son because he did something silly. And so he was put on punishment, and his mom's like, "You're gonna clean out the gutters." And he was like, "What gutters?" And he's like, Tony's like, "The ones on the roof." He's like, "Where?" And he was like, "Don't get smart with me." And he's like, "I don't know where they are." And the kid, AJ, literally didn't know where the gutters were on the house. And, you know, and Tony has this moment where he realizes, okay, my son is not educated in common sense. And he pretty much grabs him by his neck. He's like, "Come here. I'm going to show you where the gutters are." Because they really couldn't legitimately get mad at him because he honestly didn't know, even though he was in trouble. It was just little things like that where I just felt like it was so funny. Or when you see Tony act as a parent, like as a concerned parent, like where I think this is around the time where, you know, special needs is, you know, being implemented, you know, special needs programs are being implemented into schools. And they touch on that in an episode, I believe in the second season or something. And they say that his son AJ, you know, fidgets a lot. And then that constitutes as him maybe being on the spectrum. And Tony is like, "Wait a minute, he fidgets, you know, he just moves around. He's 12 years old. Every time he's a 12-year-old, his hormones are growing, you know, he's maturing. Like, what do you expect from him? He's not on the spectrum." And of course, the people that want to put him on the spectrum, of course, this is going to cost more money. And you know how Tony is about paying more money. And, but it was a very cool scene because you got to see Tony and Carmella acting as a unit and understanding that, you know, their son didn't need to be put in these special needs class. It was just another ploy to, you know, get these parents to pay out more and for something that their son didn't need or whatever like that. But yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah, I loved David Chase, James Gandolfini, Lorraine Bracco, and Edie Falco. Very, very, and Michael Imperioli too. These are all great actors. Great. This is very well acted show. It's a very well written, well acted show here. Let's go to number four. Number four is The Office. Now, you know what I love about The Office? Now, The Office was a slow burn for me because it took a while for me to ramp up to this. I didn't watch it. I shouldn't say I couldn't like it because I didn't watch it. I didn't watch The Office when it was on like television and when everybody was watching it. I think you kind of touched on that before. Like, I didn't really watch it then. And there's other shows like that. Seinfeld was like that for me. There's other shows that I watched later on in life and then watched them later and then found them genius. So in this particular, in The Office, when I tell you that man, Steve Carell, man, Steve Carell is a freaking genius, bro. He's a genius. He's a comedic genius, whether it's in this 40-Year-Old Virgin, where he's an anchorman, like the guy, even on a television show. I saw him on Late Night. He's cracking people up. Like the guy there's something about the great comedians like that, whether it's the Chris Ross, Chris Tuckers, Dave Chappelle's of the world, the people who, I call them like superhero funny. They're like super funny. Like, you know what I mean? You might know somebody is funny, but these dudes are like, have that extra level that a lot of comedians can go to. And right. I think Steve Carell was one of those guys. He carried this show for me. And when Steve left, I don't want to be no spoiler. Let me not really go into spoilers, but let's just say this: the show wasn't the same towards the end of the season, but towards the end of its run. But I think Steve Carell carried the show, and I have a soft spot for The Office because of it. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I haven't really watched. The Office like that. I have seen tidbits of it over the years, and as the show became,
when I kind of got into it,
when the show got popular, I noticed that it became somewhat like a real life Simpsons show, meaning that, and I say that out of respect because the show became so popular that when certain actors from other shows like Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad was on there, they actually did a skit with him where, you know, they kept his character Jesse Pinkman, where they took him out of the Breaking Bad universe and they put him in The Office universe. They made him, you know, he just looked like a straight up drug dealer. And they even put Idris Elba on there from The Wire, and of course he wasn't playing Stringer Bell or anything like that, but he was just, you know, they
he killed his part, by the way.
Yeah, he killed his role.
Excellent actor.
Yeah. So, but that's how you know the show is popular, and because other people who are doing guest appearances on it are, are dying to get on the show, if not are honored to be on the show. Another show that was like this that reminds me of The Office was, because I want to say some other shows followed along, Parks and Recreation, Modern Family, what was the other one? I can't think of the name of it, but it kind of they followed this along this genre of TV. Of course, The Office was, in my opinion, one of the first to do it before
Yeah, and
Modern
you know
Family
Ricky
and Parks and
Gervais had the
Recreation.
UK version. So Ricky Gervais had the UK version
Yeah.
and then it kind of got ported over, but I think that I would have to I'm not really well versed in the UK television to know how popular it was over there versus how popular The Office was here. You know what I mean?
Right.
But definitely Rick Gervais's baby and a great show. I love Steve Carell, Rainn Wilson, John Krasinski, Jenna Fisher. I love all of them,
Yeah,
man.
look, man, it skyrocketed a lot. It started a lot of careers and was used as a great platform to help build, like, because I see John Krasinski on a lot of other, projects now, and
For
he's
sure.
doing great for himself. Steve Carell, look, man, the dude is doing very well for himself right now. It definitely jump started a lot of
Legendary
careers,
actor, man.
and it was it's one of those legendary shows where people, make reference points from it, or pop culture references and stuff like that. So it's a good show when people start, using their rules and regulations from the, like, oh no, you can't do this. It's the same thing with movies like, what was that movie, Road Trip? Like, well, that was one of those
I remember
cult
Road Trip.
classic films
That's
where,
very hilarious.
hey, there was one scene where the guy said, well, if you're in a different area code, it's not cheating. Guys ran with that. Guys in college, when we saw that movie, the guys was like, well, you in a different area code? Oh, you good then, man. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. We're not getting into that, but I'm just saying it was like these certain pop culture references that people would take and just be like, that makes sense. That sounds like a good idea. So, much props to the show for doing that. And I mean, it's still going strong, I believe, on Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, one still one of the most popular shows on streaming. So
Yeah,
it's
man, it's
definitely
still
still
being
having its
streamed.
run.
Yeah, it's still
Definitely
having a
having a
great
run.
run. Great run.
Let's get on to show number five, I think we are on, which is a scroll up here because I haven't seen these myself. Stranger Things. Now, Stranger Things, very interesting with Stranger Things here. Because this is another show that I didn't watch the first season. I didn't watch, but I wasn't very far behind like I was on The Office. On The Office, The Office had finished its almost entire run before I even ever like paid attention. Versus Stranger Things, I didn't watch the first season when it was current, but I
Right.
watched it at the second season. You know what I mean? I went back, watched the first season, so I was current from the second season on. I'm a fan. I'm surprised that it's number five on this list. It's kind of surprising to me, but as a fan favorite, but it's not a horrible show. Like, I don't know. I think I will step out and say if I feel like a show just doesn't deserve to be on this list, but I haven't seen any shows so far that I can say that just absolutely don't deserve to be on this list. So I'll rock with Stranger Things, but kind of surprised that it's at five, though.
I'm surprised. Okay, here's the thing. This is not an insult. Since because they're not doing shows as far as certain eras, I'm noticing, like you said, it's already skipping around. I'm noticed that I'm surprised that it's not a little lower. And
Yeah,
I'm
because
that's
it's
that.
of the last, I think maybe the era is the last 25 years. If I did, so
Right,
it's
right, right,
20,
right. And
it's
then
the top 25 fan shows, I want to say, of the last 25 years. It's kind of like what the list is on Rotten Tomato if you ever
because
want to look it up.
if I was to put this in, more along the line, like, because we went from Sopranos, The Office, GOT, and Breaking Bad. So, this is very jumbled here, as far because I, to be honest, I would actually put Sopranos and Breaking Bad in their own league, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's
Before.
just because of your viewing habits, though, because you didn't really watch The
Right.
Office and you didn't watch GOT. So
Well,
that
no,
wouldn't that's not surprising.
not only that, but just the time period that the show had its run. Because at the time frame, Sopranos and The Wire, they were king and queen. They was at the top of the list or whatever like that. But since we're doing overall, listen, I believe Stranger Things has a place on this list. I'm
I do
surprised.
too.
I just surprised that it's number five.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
actually a pretty good place.
It is. It is. Out of a top 25, you're pretty much in the top 20% of the top 25. You're doing pretty good for yourself.
All
right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm there. I'm kind of there with you though. We won't spend a ton of time on this. I'm kind of there with you. I do love the show. I don't like it as much as the other shows that I've named on this list thus far. The show though.
Okay, I didn't mean to step over you there, or talk over you. I'll say this about it. It's very nostalgic because it references a lot of stuff that I grew up with.
Yeah, right.
Even though it's an individual show on its own, you can tell they're taking a lot of their storylines from, you know, paying, it always pays homage to a certain time period and even certain horror films that you came up with, even though they're kind of, you know, they're in their own universe and they're doing their own thing. There's always reference points that are made towards, previous films that, you know, kind of they acknowledge in this film or whatever like that. And it fits very well in the Stranger Things series and stuff like that. I'm still a fan of it. I'm not knocking it.
Yeah, 92% on the tomato meter for that. Let's go to our sixth show. Number six is Better Call Saul. Now this is very interesting to me. This is very interesting to me because this is now I'm kind of getting into my Jason mode of shows I just did not really watch. I didn't really watch this, Jay. I watched the first two seasons of this show, maybe two to three, because I'm still coming off Breaking Bad. I needed my fix. I needed something. I needed something from Breaking Bad. Yeah. And Better Call Saul went on a run of itself. So you got to give props to Odenkirk and Gilligan and all those folks because they were able to run with a character from another show, because a lot of shows struggle with this. We've seen this time and time again. You have a very popular show, you do like an offshoot of the show, and the offshoot lasts maybe a fraction of the time of the regular show. Maybe it doesn't have the notoriety of the regular show. And Better Call Saul has been on a very good run. It lasted, I think, about the same amount of Breaking Bad, close to, if not. And I think that run literally just ended a 98% on the tomato meter. So a lot of people really like the show. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. To have a spinoff, prequel spinoff because here's what I find funny about the Breaking Bad show. Breaking Bad wasn't expected to last as long as it did. And then for a lot of these side characters, listen, Bob Odenkirk, my man, did a great job playing, you know, as we know him from the Better Call, you know, we know him as Saul in the beginning.
Yeah, Saul Goodman.
Breaking Bad, but he's also known as Slippin' Jimmy. Jimmy in the Saul series and stuff like that, which kind of threw me off in the very beginning. I'm like, nah, it's Saul. And it's like, nah, you're still Slippin' Jimmy. And what led him, I love the storyline of what led, because after I was like, when I wrapped up the first season, it's a very slow, the first season is a very slow burn. But what But what I did love about the first season is I understood what pushed him to go that route because of his older brother. And I won't get into too many details or spoil it, but I said, okay, this is good. You understand how he ran into Mike and, you know, and all these other characters that are very well-known characters. But also, because it was a prequel, I'm just going to say it, man, it revived a lot of characters.
That we were using. Gave them more depth, for sure, right?
Right. So it was like, okay, we saw Gus again. We saw Mike again. We saw Tuco. We saw, you know, we got reintroduced to these guys before. And what's nice about it is in the back of your head when you're watching these prequel shows, you know what's going to happen to most of them.
Right. You know what the final end is, right?
We know what the end game is for most of these guys. But what's funny about it is how we go back and we look at these guys before that happens, and in our head is like, oh man, why couldn't you have done this? You could have did this, you would have been all right. But
right.
We see what leads them to that. So I think there's some fun consciously as well as subconsciously when we think that. Now, like I said, I haven't seen all of the seasons. I frustratingly got through the first season because it was very slow, but it was understandably so. You have to do a buildup, and the fact that they were able to get the first season done without people tuning out, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And I have nothing negative to say about this show.
No,
some shows that aren't for me, I'm just going to put that out there and just say they're not for me. Every genre isn't for every person, and you're allowed that. So for me personally, I watched about 3 seasons, I want to say, of Better Call Saul, and I got to kind of catch up on the last, maybe the last half of it or so, though.
Right.
98% Odenkirk. Shout out to Vince Gilligan having 2 in the top 10 here.
Hey, man, Vince Gilligan is a great creator, man.
Great creator. Now, your show, The Wire, makes an appearance at number 7 on this list. Number 7 on this list of which you referenced. I mean, you kept referencing that. I wanted to say, yo, we're going to get to it, but then I didn't want to spoil it. I didn't want to spoil, Jay, that we were going to get to it.
It's all good, baby.
Yo,
it's all good.
Number 7, The Wire. For anybody who has not watched this show, it's an amazing television show. Amazing television show. Let's get to it. And you know what's it's crazy is you don't see sometimes I think the creator was I think he was an ex-Baltimore reporter or something like that.
He was a reporter. I think he was also a school teacher, and he rolled around with the police department for about, I forgot how many years, but he had become so associated with the BPD, the Baltimore Police Department, that he had gotten so much information. Because I believe one of the writers of Sopranos, or the creators of Sopranos, was attached to this show as well. And I think, I don't know if it was Chase, or I can't remember the guy's name right now. But
what, Harris? I'm mad I don't see Michael Williams, Michael K. Williams, man.
He was an integral part of the show as well.
He was an integral part of the show. Yeah. And not only that, Michael K. Williams is an excellent, or was, God bless, dead here.
God bless.
Excellent, excellent actor. I cannot understate that enough. Yeah. This guy was an excellent actor, man.
But the reason why the show was so well written and well done was because a lot of this stuff is, I mean, it pretty much, you could say this was from actual events.
These are actual events
that were depicted from these characters. And
for sure,
they did it in such a great way. The way they made the film, it was so realistic. It was so realistic in such a way where it was just, it was like, and then to have a real life, you know, Baltimore residents who were in this film and and depict these characters and and just people who were literally a part of that Baltimore community and stuff like that, that added to the authenticity. But it was so relatable. And here's the thing, because that show wrapped up in 07, okay, so by the time that show wrapped up, what I find funny about it is it's still referenced to, because it's not just the street. They were talking about the politics, the police, the port, all the newspaper, the schools. They were all relatable, as you stated earlier. These are all things that are relatable. They're human, these are human beings and stuff like that. And what you see, what's funny about the series is that the more you watch it, the more you see something different. You see something different every time. Every time you catch something different from it. And then you understand more and more why the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Right? Is this number 1 on your list here, Jay? Would this be the number 1 or 2? Would you have this up higher? This is number 7 on the fan list so far out of 25, which is still not a bad rating, by the way. Get into the top 10.
It's in the top 10. So I definitely correct. Top 10. It would be between this and Sopranos as number 1.
Okay, for you. All right. The Wire, number 7 on this list. I have 0 bad. This is an excellent TV show. An excellent show that you should go back and watch. If you haven't watched it, 94% on the tomato meter deserves every point that it has there. Let's go on to number 8, which is Succession. Interesting. Now, this is very interesting to see Succession on this list. Jason, you don't sound like you're rocking with Succession right here. But it's interesting to see it on this list this high. Now I like Succession. I watch every episode. I like it. I'm a fan. It reminded me kind of like they were doing a whole Rupert Murdoch type of situation is what it seemed like to be. Somebody they own a conservative type of media conglomerate, and you know the succession plan is kind of like a Game of Thrones, so to speak, from these kids all kind of fighting over who's gonna be able to succeed to the top spot once the top guy steps down. And it's interesting, and I feel like 95% on the tomato meter there, 2018. I am a fan of Succession. I watch it. The biggest issue I would have with Succession, if I could say I have any issue with Succession, and this is probably what a lot of these shows, you could probably say that about a lot of these shows, is can you recommend it to others the same way you can recommend some of these other shows to others, like, and say, hey, man, you should really watch this show. I feel like Succession is a slower show. There's things I feel like you have to appreciate from a cinematography standpoint, appreciate from a show standpoint to have full appreciation. If you're into like action films, this ain't for you. If you're into like other genres that we've seen on this list, like the fantasy genre, of course, if that's where you would have number one, then I'm not sure how high Succession would be for you. But for me, Succession at number 8 is pretty high for me, but I still like the show. What are your thoughts
here? I would have to watch it all the way through. I'm not going to sit up here and trash it. But from
how have you watched it at all?
Bits and pieces. And from what I saw of it, it was just basically, I can break it down to spoiled children wanting more power. That, you know, if I was to just look at it from that, because what I found funny about from the bits and pieces I did see was, you know, the father's thinking about stepping down. And then, of course, all the children get giddy and, you know, all the children are, you know, giddy and they become like a pack of hyenas, you know, or a pack of wolves where they like they're ready to slit each other's throats, you know, figuratively for the top spot. And how spoiled they are. And this is like, I mean, this is capitalism at its finest, man. This is absolutely, you know what I'm saying? This is capitalism at its finest. But it also shows, like, to a certain degree, well, how spoiled were these children? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, how well did the father actually raise these kids, you know? Or did he just give them everything that they asked for so he could just run his, you know, run his empire, run his, you know, his business and stuff like that? Because from the show standpoint, it makes it look like the dad actually is, you know, keeping everybody in line and he's doing the right thing. But from I like to maybe guess what the backstory is of the characters. And from just the initial stuff that I saw in the very beginning, I was like, well, how much was the father around? Right. And this is just me playing devil's advocate. It's like, how much was the dad around to actually spend time with his kids to the point where they feel like, you know, some want to feel like they can prove themselves that, dad, I'm worthy of it or whatever like that. And he obviously
no doubt
didn't mind making children. Look how many kids he got. So, you know, it's clearly obvious he, you know, this was a man of status. This is a man of power. And so, you know, you look at the backstory of that and you see each child has their own demon that they're fighting or whatever like that, what's going on with them. But they all have this one goal in mind to prove to their father, like, I am worthy of the top spot, male or female, doesn't matter. And it's I want to say pure comedy to see what they do in order to gain his approval.
Yeah, it's a captivating show. For me personally, I think it's a very captivating show. It kept my attention. I watched the whole thing. I caught on maybe season 2. I didn't watch the first season when it first came out, but I watched it from season 2 on. And it was appointment viewing for me. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, when it came on, it was captivating enough to hold my attention. And I watched it all the way through every episode. So I'm a fan of the show. I am kind of surprised it's 8 out of 25 here on this list, which we're only probably going to go over the top 10. You can go on to, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to go through 25, the show will be an hour and a half. But it's a good show, worthy of the watch. 95% worthy of the watch to me.
I wouldn't put it top 10, but
not in Jason's top 10.
No, not in my top 10. I would have.
All right, now this is interesting. We're at loss at number 9. Now this is interesting, and I'm gonna tell you why.
They jumbled that thing around.
This was J.J. Abrams, man. So let me tell you why the issue I have with loss. There's only one issue I have with loss. It's only one.
Go ahead.
This show was very intriguing when it first, the first couple seasons. And I feel like you can kind of tell the story of Lost, but with the writer strike that happened in 2007. So there was a writer strike that happened in 2007. Me personally, I don't think Lost recovered after that writing strike happened. There are certain shows like Heroes that was on that fell off altogether after the writer strike. But let me tell you where I really have an issue with Lost. And it is the opposite of the issue I had with Breaking Bad. I feel like the show went on too long. I feel like the show went on too long, man. I feel like they could have nipped in the bud. There were still some questions some people had at the ending. I remember having watch parties. I went to a watch party for the ending, the last show. And it was an intriguing show, and J.J. Abrams did a good job of keeping it intriguing for the most part. But the first couple seasons were excellent to me. I loved those first seasons, a few seasons of Lost. I can't speak on the same on the last few seasons, so definitely wouldn't be top 10 for me. But it's no surprise that it's with the impact that it had on society, how much people were watching it at the time, that it is in the top 10 for fans. What is your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. See, here's where it gets a little tricky. If we were to put certain shows in our top 10 based off of maybe the first few seasons, okay, I get you. But if you're putting something in the top 10, unfortunately, you know, Lost, like The Walking Dead, has more than one season. Yeah. More than one. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah. They have the same problem. They have the same problem, Jay. It's like, you know what I mean?
Because here's the thing. When somebody says, oh, I'm putting Walking Dead or I'm putting Lost in this category here and, you know, this top 10 or top 3 or top 5 or whatever like that, my answer or my statement that I would make after it would be, according to what? The first 2-3 seasons or the whole enchilada? And now it can get a little, you know, touchy feely or whatever like that, because it's like the way you feel about, you know, the whole enchilada, the whole thing, the whole series is not how I feel about it. Because it's like, yeah, if you say, you know, season 1 through 3,
I loved it,
I'm
man.
With you.
Amazing,
you
know what I'm right?
But if you say season 1 to whatever, it's like, hold on, you know, like, so that's the same way I feel about Lost, where it was like, yeah, first 2-3 seasons, yo, I'm invested. Let's
captivating,
go.
Bro.
I'm
right.
Very much so. But I want to say the last few last couple seasons, I was holding on for dear life. Because
it's kind of like a drag, right?
Well, that and the fact that I was so invested in it, I was just like, well, they gonna close this loophole.
You wanted the closure. You waited the last two years were waiting for closure, right?
There was no closure.
And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem I have with the show.
So much open-ended answers and so many cliffhangers to the point where I was looking like this. This is some crap, man. This is some BS. Like, you bamboozled me. I feel like I got hustled. You know, so it was just, it got to that point where I was just like, man, because in the beginning, there were certain things that were closed or whatever like that, you know, as far as like when the question was brought out there and certain answers were given and made. But as time went on, I felt like they, instead of them, like you said, like with the writer strike and then even the fact that it went on maybe a little bit longer than it should have. For the fan base, they were like, all right, look, we got to bring out more questions. We got to bring out more mystery. We got to bring out more, you know, this, that, and the third or whatever like that. I would have loved to learn how Ben moved, you know, how he first learned to move the island. You know, I would have loved to learn, you know, why Ben was so, you know, this was this short dude who, you know, a lot of people underestimated. But he was very sure about what he was doing. I would have loved to learn a little bit. You know, they go into his past and stuff like that when he first got to the island and with his dad. But
man, don't get started too on the timelines, Chase. Not to interrupt you, but them timelines were killing me. And you know what? Some of that to me came off. And this isn't just me being cynical, of course. I have no evidence of this. But when seasons go on like this, I can't help but it come off as a money grab a little bit to me. Like, it seems like you get popular first, and now let's write the story after and see how we can stretch it.
Well, that reminded me of Dexter.
Yes. Oh, man. You know what? We could do a whole – yo, we have one more show to on this list.
Go ahead.
And I don't think it's going to be Dexter, but I can tell you, very Dexter-ish with the end of Lost. You're definitely there with me, where it went on too long and it felt like the executives were like, yo, we're making money. I don't care about do whatever you got to do to get us another couple seasons. You know what I mean? And I'm not in these rooms, so I don't know that's what's happened for sure, but that's just how it came off to me. Yeah. We'll get to our last show here. The last show, I didn't even watch this show. Dark 2017. It's great that this is the last show because I don't have anything to add to it. I can just say what it is, but I did not watch this show. But you know what's interesting? 96%, man. I might need to go visit now. Let's see.
This is a sleeper for me. Are.
Double Lives. Okay. Looks like it's a foreign film, though. That's what it looks like.
At least
a lot of the cast and the directors don't seem like an American. I will have to go back and see. But Dark listed at 95% on here.
Okay.
So before I can contribute, I got to go back in and look at it.
Because what this sounds like to me, what this looks like to me, is a sleeper. This looks like a sleeper.
I love sleepers, man.
Here's the thing. Now, when I saw that, when you rolled it up, the first thing I thought of when I saw the person with the yellow raincoat was Stephen King's It.
Correct.
Okay. That's what caught my attention. Now, I don't know if that was the plan of the artists or the creators to purposely do that, because it was like, okay, we got to put something here that maybe it'll reference something mainstream that America's doing or whatever like that, even though it has nothing to do with that. But the first thing I see is I see this yellow raincoat and a little kid. Yellow raincoat and a little kid, I'm thinking Pennywise is dragging a kid through the sewer. But that's not this at all. Here's the other thing. I'm looking at the font. It says Dark, but normally when I would see something like that with the woods, I would see Ozark. And speaking of Ozark, I'm a little
excellent
surprised
show as well.
That
by
didn't
the way.
Make the top 10 list.
Excellent show. We might do the rest of this. So what we might do, Jay, what we'll do is we'll come back. We'll do a part one and part two. We'll make this our part one, and we'll do the whole 25.
Okay, so maybe Ozark 25. Is in there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll do the next 15, and we'll kind of just like roll through them. We'll make that show a little bit longer, and we'll roll through the last 15 on another show. Only so that we can cover the entire 25. Because I'm pretty sure there's some shows on here that people were looking for. I'm not going to look forward because I want it to be a surprise to me as well. Because some of these shows were a surprise to me as I'm scrolling. I'm seeing them at the same time. A lot of people are seeing them.
Throwing me off. This Dark one kind of throwing me off. Not in a bad way, but it's just kind of like, all right. It's kind of like the one where it's like, yeah, come on, man, bring it. And you look at it and like, what the heck is this? You know, it's not in a bad way. It's just more along the line of just what Dark. Who have you seen this? Hey, John, you seen this? Like, you know, that's kind of like what this is as far as with, you know, Dark or whatever like that. Because I don't know the plot. I don't know. They say when two kids are missing. Okay, seen that one before.
Yeah, let's see if we can get some of the synopsis here. Let's see. When two children go missing in a small German town, its sinful past is exposed along with the double lives. I guess we'll see. I'm gonna watch it. I'll have more feedback on this. Probably I'm gonna go watch it. We'll probably get back together here in a few weeks, Jay. And then come back to see some of the rest of these shows and see what happens.
Okay.
So I can give a more informed perspective here. I have nothing for this.
You got nothing for this. I got nothing for this. So yeah, this is like one of them ones where I can't be happy or sad or mad. It's
correct.
It's literally I'm shrugging my shoulders over here. I'm like, Dark. Have fun. You know.
All right, man. I'll let you know how it goes, Jason. I appreciate you taking some time out, joining us and the people, and we'll be back for a part two of this. Like I said, we'll probably record this in a few weeks. I'm not sure when I post it, but we'll record it in a few weeks. Appreciate you taking the time as usual, my friend.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
All right, Regin ATL, check us out. Stitch, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, as well as I've been posting on TikTok and YouTube, and I probably will continue to do so. That's like slowly, I feel like I'm slowly crawling in those areas, Jace. That's like a different, whole different world, the video stuff than the audio stuff that I'm used to, but I'm kind of making it happen. It's pretty interesting. So please check us out on there as well. See you next time.
Later.